number six. And it was a wonderful time over in Tacoma, Washington, and just to be there with a great group of people. And we had some wonderful preachers come out for that meeting. And even actually, we had the president of West Coast Baptist College, Paul Chappell, there. And we had Johnny Pope from Houston, Texas. Actually, he came over and preached as well. Dr. Gibbs from CLA, Christian Law Association. And who was the last preacher? Brother Ray from North California. And so it was just a wonderful privilege to be there and just listen in on and hear what these men had to say. They have a lot of wisdom and a lot of stuff that we can learn from the Word of God. And like Pastor said, I grew up in the youth group here. I was 13 years old when I actually came to Anchor Baptist Church with my family. And I know we're a very quiet family. We don't say much. But we would always, you know, just sit in and preached here. I love the spirit of this church. This is a praying church. I believe that. So as we look to Matthew chapter number 6, I would like you to focus in on verse number 5. Verse number 5. If you would stand for the reading of God's word, please, as it is read today. Beginning in verse chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we need you today. I do not have the words that you would have me to speak. Lord, I pray that you would keep me from saying anything that I should not say. Lord, I pray that anything that I would say would edify this church body and we would learn exactly what you have for us. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, dear God. May your Holy Spirit come down mightily. Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit even now. Please be the teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love the first phrase, verse number 7. The Bible says, but when ye pray, when ye pray. Now, it does not say if ye pray. It says when ye pray. Because, you see, it ought to be an integral part of the Christian's life to pray. If we are not praying, it is impossible to love the Lord. The great preacher and writer, E.M. Bounds, he once said, to love God, or it is impossible to love God if we do not pray to him. If love for God is to exist, we must pray to him. We must pray to him. How can we love the Lord if we do not pray to him? And this is an area that I've been convicted in, and I'm sure you have as well. Prayerlessness is a great sin, and the devil has used it in our lives. He used it in my life. He's used it in your life even to bring down and to bar the Holy Spirit from working. When ye pray, when ye pray. And it talks about not using vain repetitions as the heathen do. And many of us possibly have had a Catholic background. My family, specifically, we are Filipino. And in the Philippines, Catholicism has a great stronghold in that country. Catholicism often has vain repetitions, Hail Mary and all that sort of thing. But when ye pray, it is not done out of rote. It is not done out of routine. It is not a religious ritual. Prayer is talking to an almighty God. And then it says, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. is the last time you actually saw them. Really, truly, and honestly. The disciples, the parallel passage to this chapter in Matthew chapter number 6. Is actually located in Luke 11. You can turn there if you would like. Luke chapter number 11. Give a little bit of context and a little bit of background to this. Luke chapter number 11. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass that as he, speaking of Jesus, was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Notice here, disciples did not ask to cast out demons. They did not ask how to raise up the dead. Certainly I would have done that. I would say, Lord, how do you do all these mighty miracles? They noticed something was different. Something was different about the way that Jesus prayed. Where Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of Man, there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. Lord, teach us to pray. May that be our prayer. May that be our heart's desire, that the Lord would teach us to pray. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, when ye pray, once again, you notice that phrase? When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, or as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, What or which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity, what is that word? Growing up, I wondered, like I would go to read many passages in the Bible, and I would see, maybe check my concordance. What does importunity mean? Or all these big words, all these words I don't really understand, like me looking them up in the Strong's Concordance, or figure out what each of these individual words mean. It's not just Bible reading. It's actually opening the Bible, and as we open the Bible, when we open the Bible, we open the mind of God. And so we ought to be very concerned about the meanings of individual words. If words have meaning and language has integrity, then ideas matter. You see, this matter. Every jot, every tittle shall no wise pass from the law. Every word of Scripture matters. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's how to be right. That's how to stay right and how to stay on the straight and narrow way and to serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, a young evangelist. I'm studying to be an evangelist. So anytime Paul writes to Timothy, I'm paying special close attention. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, keep thyself pure. Pure. What does it mean to be pure? I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. The Bible also speaks of purity. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, the attitudes to be, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you want to see God today? Isaiah chapter number 6. Let's turn there, in fact. Isaiah chapter number 6, a great passage here. A dear friend of the prophet Isaiah had recently died, King Uzziah. Look with me in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter number 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Now picture this. You have an angel. And you know humans don't see angels a lot. This is a little bit weird. This is really terrifying. Imagine, put yourself in the prophet Isaiah's shoes. Yes. Are you seeing this right now? Wings, two wings covers his feet, two wings covers his face, with twain he did fly. It's a little bit surprising to see that. And not just surprising, even fearsome. There was a little bit of trepidation there in the heart of the prophet Isaiah. He saw the seraphims. He had never seen them before. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now remember, Matthew chapter number 6, where it says, "Hallowed be thy name." After this manner, pray ye. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. How to pray. If I were to give this message a title, I would not dare to say, "I know how to pray." But if I may be so bold to entitle this message, "How to Pray," as Jesus taught me to pray, may we follow what the Lord says, "After this manner, pray ye. After this manner, pray ye." My first point tonight, if you have a pen and paper, may you write this down. It is to pray with purpose. Pray with purpose. After this manner, pray ye. After this manner, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Notice that the angels did not say love, love, love. They did not say mercy, mercy, mercy. The first word that they said, or the word that they repeated three times, is holy, holy, holy. Our God is a thrice holy God. Hallowed be thy name. His name is above all names. Says our Father, our Father, our Father. Now this is a very familiar passage. I'm sure many of you have thought about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. This is the Lord teaching us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter number 17, where that is a prayer that we cannot pray. But the model prayer, he says, "After this manner pray ye." This is how ye ought to pray. Hallowed be thy name. When we understand that God is a holy God. Let's look down at verse number 5, the response. There's no other response but to say, "Woe is me." "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When's the last time we sought? When's the last time we sought God in our prayer closet and realized he's a holy God? So, I was thinking of praying with purpose. Praying with purpose. Matthew chapter number 6, let's turn back there if you got your fingers ready. It's good, it's good. When ye pray, it's ought to be a part of our lives. Always seeking the Lord, always talking to him. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 6, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Are we praying that the Lord's will would be done? Are we praying that the Lord's will would be done? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. This is a book speaking about joy. Joy, that's the topic of Philippians. I like verse number 2 of Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2, verse number 2. Fill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We have the mind of Christ, it is written elsewhere. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, that is an argumentative spirit, or vainglory seeking one's own glory, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem each other better. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. I love this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, holy God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah 57. I'll just start reading. It's okay. You don't have to turn unless you really want to. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. We went over that. His name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. I personally believe that is the place of prayer, where we're praying with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Revival. I believe that is the great need of the hour. Great need of today is revival. And he dwells in the high and holy place, and with him that is contrite and humble. He dwells with the humble, the Lord himself. We are alive in Christ. He dwells in us, and we dwell in him. You can read 1 John for more expounding upon that fact. But we are alive in Christ. Galatians 2, chapter 20, I am crucified, or Galatians 2, 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Life for Christ that lives in me, the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. Love me, gave himself. The Bible is simply Jesus. The Bible is simply the gospel. If we forget the gospel, it is very hard to pray. If we forget the gospel, we forget the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is very, very hard to pray. It is very hard to love the Lord. It is very hard to do what we are made to do. You see, the Lord created us to worship. We will worship. I love our theme of this year, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Holiness. When we pray, we acknowledge his holiness. Back to Matthew chapter 6, if you want. We ought to be praying for his kingdom to come, that his will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. I like verse number 11. Number 11 is powerful and very important. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the word daily. I like the devotional that's maybe even gone around our daily bread, and just the idea there, our daily bread. Every single day we're taking in from the Word. The devil cannot defeat God's Word, written or incarnate. He cannot defeat Jesus. He cannot defeat the Bible. Every time we are tempted, we can live in his victory. Stand, therefore, in his victory. We can stand in his victory. But as it says, our daily bread. If you remember Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was speaking with the devil or being tempted of the devil in the wilderness, the Spirit led him there, by the way. It's also like we're going to be through tough times. We're going to be in tribulations. We're going to be in trials. The Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness. And every time the devil tried to tempt the Lord, he said, command that these stones be made bread. He said, I am the bread of life. But Or rather, you know, throw yourself off this cliff, you know, and like the angels will bear thee up, you know. He actually said. Every time the devil tried to tempt him with something, he said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." He always went back to the Word of God. He always went back to the Word of God. And so as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. May we not just ask God for our needs. God will supply our needs, not our greeds. That's right. Our daily bread. Our daily bread. Constantly, every single day, we are going back to the Word of God and begging God, "Please show me something. Please show me something. And I will obey when you tell me." Give us this day our daily bread. We are praying with purpose. We are praying with purpose. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, this is different. This is different. We forget the gospel. Oh, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. How are we supposed to forgive others? The Lord will not forgive us if we are unable to forgive others. If we are fostering a spirit of bitterness in our hearts, how can we possibly be forgiven of the Lord? How can we see revival? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Pray for them. Spitefully use you. Be kind, tender-hearted, loving one another. Forgiving. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. As God forgave us, we ought to be forgiving other people. And lead us not into temptation, verse number 13. And deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Going off the forgiveness thought, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Very serious. Very serious. Heaven help us. We must pray that we wouldn't foster a spirit of bitterness toward any man, toward no man, toward no woman. Secondly, we went over praying with purpose. Secondly, if you would see today that we would pray with passion. Pray with passion. In Gethsemane, he prayed as it were, or he sweat as it were, great drops of blood. The medical condition for that is called hematohidrosis. And blood, the sweating blood would normally kill a man. Angel ministered to him immediately after. I personally see that as the angel strengthened. Have we agonized in prayer? We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We resist it. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I love that, because submitting and resisting in that case are synonymous. If you submit yourself to God, that is the same thing as resisting the devil. By admitting that we cannot win, that is where victory lies. We can win only by submitting ourselves as unto the Lord. And this is how we pray with passion. We are giving all that we are to the Lord. All that we are. Our whole being. It is not about us. Not unto us. Not unto us. Unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, for the word of God, the truth. We are asking that the Lord would receive glory in everything that is done in this church. I hope you're praying for Pastor. I know people are praying for him. He needs your prayers. Pastor Turner needs your prayers. Brother Ravert needs your prayers. All the pastoral staff, Mrs. Ravert, and the nursery workers, and every single person in this room needs prayer. And we went over the missionary requests, and I hope you're not taking that lightly. We ought to pray with such fervency. If we prayed with that correct fervency, I believe the Lord would send them. If we prayed with such passion. Isaiah 66, verse number 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth, my word. When is the last time we have trembled at the word of God? You will not see a mighty working of the Lord in Burnaby as he desires to bring. We are not passionate. May we not be afraid to cry. Finally today, I would like us to see that we need to pray with persistence. Passion. Persistence. We spoke of the word importunity. That means a continual asking. Continual. You keep asking, imploring the throne of heaven. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, we only have access through Jesus Christ. So never forget the gospel. This is why we preach the same message over and over and over and over again. Why? Because that is the only thing that can change a life. The only thing that could ever change a life is the word of God. The power of his word. You must stick to the Bible. You must stick to the word of God. We must pray back even scripture. If you don't know what to pray, it may be because you are not praying. And he has given us a model by which to pray by. There's an acrostic that goes A-C-T-S. If you remember the book of Acts, you can remember it. Acts. Adoration. Confession. Thanksgiving. Supplication. Adoration. Would we remember who he is? When you see how big the Lord is, when you see how big God is seated upon his throne, and you ask him to convict you of sin personally, that, Lord, what can I do? Or what? There's nothing I can do, actually. You know? We have this mentality of, there's something more I could do. I guess I must just try harder. That's how I'm going to make this Christian life work. It is not about trying. It's about trusting. Don't try God. Trust God. If we want revival, we must pray the price. Pray the price. Let God have all of your life. Agonize in prayer before the Lord. Pay the price. There's too much at stake. Too much at stake. We are so petty. We really are. We're into these cars, and I think of my generation. We're into cars and, you know, selfish. We're materialistic. Social media. We've gone to this sort of generation where we progress so far in this generation where we're just so concerned about money. Making ends meet. Trying to figure out where the next paycheck is going to come from and just prioritizing that over the word of God. It would break our hearts. I love this. I grew up here. Last 18 years of my life, I've been in the Greater Vancouver Regional District. And we're just so consumed with stuff and with getting things. But we need to ask the Lord to empty us of ourselves, to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Passage we read in Philippians 2, in the Greek, they call this the kenosis passage. Emptying and filling. Jesus trusted the Lord. In John chapter number 10, verse 30, he prayed, I can of mine own self do nothing. He's praying to the Father. If Jesus needed to pray that prayer, how much more do we need to pray that? Lord, I can't do anything without you. Lord, I need you. I pray that we pray with Mr. Spurgeon, as he prayed many years ago, for revival. May we pray, because prayer moves the hand that moves the